I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of 1 John. That's the epistle of John. 1 John, back near the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read four verses. Verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Now here's the subject today. Eternal life manifested. Eternal life manifested. Now, eternal life is not talking about how long it lasts. It is eternal. It lasts forever. But that's not what we mean when the Scripture says eternal life. It's talking about not the quality of it. Eternal life is the life of God. Eternal life is spiritual life. Eternal life is that life opposed to natural life. It's spiritual life. All right. Now here, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Now listen to it. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested. The life was manifested. And there was life all over this earth when John wrote this. But the life was manifested. L-I-F-E, life. The life was manifested. And we've seen it. Something different from animal life and plant life and human life. The life was manifested. We've seen it. And we bear witness and show you that eternal life. That spiritual life, that divine life, that life that never ends, which was with the Father. That eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may have eternal life. That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship, our life is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. And my friends, there's a lot here. There's a tremendous lesson here. Something we need to hear, to see ourselves and hear ourselves and experience ourselves. Now, who is John writing about? Of whom does the prophet speak? That's what the Ethiopian asked Philip when he read some scripture one time from the book of Isaiah. He said, of whom does he speak, himself or some other person? Who's John preaching about, writing about, talking about? Well, he's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. That which was from the beginning, that's Christ Jesus. The Word of life, the Word in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt amongst us. That Word is Christ, the Word of life. That eternal life which was with the Father, that's Christ Jesus, which was manifested to us. God was manifest in the flesh, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see, the subject of John's preaching was always Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew presents Christ Jesus as the King of the Jews. Mark presents Christ Jesus as the servant. Luke presents Christ Jesus as the Son of Man. John, the Son of God. Christ was always his subject. Christ was the subject of all the prophets. To him give all the prophets witness. He was the subject of all the apostles. It says, when Isaiah saw his glory, he spake of him. Philip began at the same scripture and preached Jesus. Paul said, we preach Christ and him crucified. In fact, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And now John says, that which I've seen, and that which I've heard, and that which my hands have handled, He laid his head on the breast of the Master at the Last Table. He was called the Beloved Disciple. He said, that which I've seen and heard and my hands have handled, declare unto you. I'm a witness. A witness tells what he's seen and what he's heard. In fact, that's all a witness can tell. And if anything more, if he tells anything more than what he's seen and heard, he puts a question mark on what he said. And the judge will throw it out of court if he tells any more than what he's seen and what he's heard. They'll throw out all of his testimony because he'll put a question mark on all of it. So John says, I'm a witness. And I'm a witness of what I've seen and what I've heard and what these hands have actually handled and touched. All right, let's start with verse 1. Let's look at these verses. Let's look at them carefully. Remember what I said to you recently, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. All right, verse 1 says, that which was from the beginning. Our Lord Jesus Christ has no beginning of days or end of days. He is not I was or I will be. He's I am. I am. Now, John heard him speak often of his eternality. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. He prayed in the garden, Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Here's a man in human flesh, born of a woman, who walked on this earth. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. They call him Jesus the Christ. And here he is praying to the Heavenly Father, and he's saying, I had glory with you before the world was. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. He's called the Lamb crucified or slain before the foundation of the world. He has no beginning. That's the reason John begins not only his gospel with in the beginning was the Word, but he begins this epistle with that which was from the beginning, which we apostles saw. That which was from the beginning, we saw. And we heard him speak and we touched him. You know, Thomas said of our Lord after the resurrection, he said, I don't believe he's risen. And I don't intend to believe till I take my hand and put it into the nail print and into the spear mark in his side. I won't believe. And then our Lord appeared to the disciples. He said, Thomas, reach hither thy hand and touch my side, and be not faithless, but believe. And John said, I saw him, and I heard him, and I touched him. Now, listen and learn three things here, three very important things. John goes on. He says, now that which was from the beginning, for the life was manifested, and we've seen it and heard it, and handled him with our own hands. Now look at verse 3. That eternal life, which was with the Father, was literally, actually manifested to us. That eternal life, that divine life, that spiritual life, that life of God, that life that has no beginning or end. I hear people say, well, Jesus is alive. No, Jesus is not alive. Now listen to me. Listen, don't turn me off now. Jesus is life. You're alive. I'm alive. Your dog's alive. But Jesus Christ is not alive as if he's meeting some standard laid down for life. He is life. Life is in him. And apart from him, there is no life. He is life. As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Christ is life. It says in Colossians, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Now, who made a man? Christ did. In the beginning, are you listening to me? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And he made the animals and gave them life. He made a man and gave him life. He made the birds that fly, everything that breathes, every breast beast of the forest, every bird on the wing lives by Him because He's life. By Him all things consist. He's not alive. He's life. He raised the ruler's daughter. She was dead, and the master came to the house, and the people said, "Don't trouble the master, she's dead." Well, now, you needn't trouble anybody else because nobody else can do anything about it. But the master can. He is life. And he came in and touched her, and she arose. Lazarus is dead, and his sister said to the Lord, said, "Don't roll away the stone." Isn't that amazing how unbelieving we are? The Lord Jesus said, "Roll away the stone." She said, "Don't do that. Don't do that. He's dead. He's been dead 4 days and he stinks." What? He said, "Martha, I'm the resurrection. I'm the life." Oh, she says, "I believe he'll be raised from the dead." He said, "But I'm life. Don't you believe that? I kill, I make alive." And when John talks here about that life, the life, we have seen the life. Well, John had seen a lot of living things. But when he saw Christ, he saw the source of life, the fountain of life. He saw eternal life. He saw the life of God. And John's not speaking here of natural life. He's talking about eternal life, spiritual life. Jesus Christ is eternal life too. He says, "I'm come that they might have life." That they might have life? They've got life. They've got fleshly life and carnal life that'll die and keep dying and die eternally. "I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." You see, eternal life is to know the Father and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. And John wrote again and he said, "The Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. This is the true God. And this is eternal life." You see, eternal life and physical life are different. Christ is life. That morning that John sat in the boat mending nets with his father and with his brother, and this man, Jesus Christ, came by. And he looked at John and he said, "John, you follow me. I'll make you a fisher of men." And something happened. John laid down the net, left his father, left his job, left his income, his profession, and followed Christ. And followed Him all the days of his life till he died in exile, 90-some-odd years old, on a deserted island, having God reveal to him the future. Oh, I tell you, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall never come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. And John heard him that day, and John believed him, and John lived. Have you heard him? He said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life." And that eternal life, that's what this is all about. Read it for yourself. Sit there and read it till God gives you an understanding. John says, the life was manifested. The life. The life. The true life. The life of God was actually revealed and manifested. And that eternal life. Now look at the next line. That eternal life which was with the Father. Jesus Christ is indeed a man, but He's more than a man. More than a man. He's a God-man. Paul wrote in Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, "Great is the mystery of godliness." God was manifested. You know what John said? That eternal life which was with the Father was manifested unto us. And we've seen it and heard it and touched it. And that life which was with the Father, God was manifested in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit, seen of the angels, believed on in the world, preached unto the Gentiles, received up into glory. You know, I could give you so many scriptures teaching this. Jesus Christ is God. Now you sit there and listen to me a moment. He's God. I know He's a man born of a woman, but He's God. He's God in human flesh. God was in Christ. Now listen to these scriptures. Listen to them. Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Isaiah 9:6, listen, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of God. He's the express image of God, the exact likeness of God. He was with God and He was God. He said, John 10:30, I and my Father are one. John 14, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Acts 20, Paul said, feed the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood, which God purchased. In Hebrews 1:8, to the Son, the Father said, thy throne, O God, is forever. Let all the angels of God worship Him. That eternal life, which was with the Father, is one God. In three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, with only one God. And you'll never see but one God. Even in glory, there's one God. And that's Christ. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. That life was manifested to us. He dwelt among us and we beheld His glory. Actually saw His glory. Now, my friends, if Christ had not come into this world, we would never have known God. Because no man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal it. If Christ had not come, we would never have known God. If Christ had not come, we would never have known the love of God. Or we'd know the justice and the holiness, because that's revealed by our conscience. And the power of God, that's revealed by the heavens. But the love of God is in Christ Jesus. That's what Romans 8:39 says, the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. If Christ did not come, we would still be under the curse. Because cursed is everyone that continueth not in everything written in the law to do it. But Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. If Christ did not come, we would have no way to God. No way. Now the whole Bible, I want you to listen to me a minute. The whole Bible bears witness to this, that there's no way to God for any human being except through Christ. You see, when Adam fell, now listen to me, God taught this to Adam right from the outset. When Adam fell, sin came upon the whole race, and Adam died dead in trespasses and sin, spiritual death. God put him out of the garden, and He put a flaming sword to guard the tree of life. And that flaming sword pointed every way. The scripture says, every way. That flaming sword pointed every way. There was no way back that wasn't defended by a flaming sword. Adam couldn't get back to God. Well, when Christ Jesus came, what did He do? Did He, by His sovereignty, do away with the sword? No. Did He find a way around the sword? No. Then how did He deliver us from the sword of God's wrath and justice? He took it in His own heart. He took our place. And the sword of God's wrath and anger and justice destroyed Him, killed Him in our place. And now he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I go to the Father in Christ and through Christ, because he's taken all of the penalty and the punishment and the curse and the condemnation and the wrath of God, and there's no sword in my way. And then in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, God taught this to Israel. He had them build a tabernacle. And that tabernacle was divided in two parts. It was a holy place, and there was the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant and the Shekinah glory of God overshadowing the mercy seat. No human being was allowed in that Holy of Holies, bar none. No human being. Men tried it and were killed and were destroyed. But no human being was allowed in God's presence except one, the high priest. He was an emblem. He was a symbol. He was not allowed in there without blood. He could only come once a year into that Holy of Holies, into the Shekinah glory, into the presence of God once a year. Just one man, the high priest, appointed of God. And he couldn't come without blood. And when he came with the blood, he sprinkled it on the mercy seat, waving the incense, and got out of there. It was separated by a great 4-inch thick veil. God said, don't anybody come in my presence but the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement. Christ came, our high priest. We have a high priest. He came and he went to Calvary and shed his blood. And he went not into the holy place made with hands, which is a figure. He went into heaven itself, into the Shekinah glory, into the very presence of God, into the throne room, and put his blood, not the blood of an animal, his blood, his perfect holy blood, on the mercy seat of glory, and obtained eternal redemption for us. And when that was done, the scripture said, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And now the scripture says, seeing we have a high priest over the house of God, which is Jesus Christ the righteous, let us come boldly to God's very throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. John is so insistent upon these three things. That eternal life, which we've seen and heard, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. He was born of a woman. He was made under the law. He was obedient in life. He suffered a vicarious death. You know what vicarious means? Instead of. Substitution. Vicarious. That's the reason it's wrong to call any man on earth a vicar. A vicar of Christ. There's no substitutes for Christ. There's nobody stands in Christ's place instead. Christ Jesus is suffered vicariously in our place instead. He became what we're not, that we might become what he is. He arose and ascended to glory. And the good news is, by believing on him, trusting in him, resting in him, looking to him, you and I can have life. Look into Christ. Look unto me, he said, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm God. There's none else. There's no other way. You look to me. Don't look to the law of works. People talk all the time about, well, I wonder if I've done enough. No, if you could do all that everybody's ever done, you wouldn't do enough. Your works are tainted with sin. Don't look to the law of works. Don't look to your experience. Well, I just don't know about my experience. I don't know about it either. But it doesn't matter. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. Trust the ever-living Word of God. There's nothing else worth believing. It's not experience. It's not feelings. It's not look to your religious leaders. Well, I just lost all confidence in men. That's good. That's fine. And don't have any in yourself either. Don't look to religious organizations. Look to Him. That eternal life which was with the Father was manifested unto us. Now, John had a threefold reason for telling them about Christ. He gives it here in verse 3 and 4. He says, now what we've seen and heard declare we unto you. Number one, that you may have fellowship with us. that you might be a part of the family of God. It's a special family in which its members have so much in common. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one faith, one hope of your calling, one Father. That you might have fellowship with us. That you might have fellowship with the Father and with His Son. And that your joy may be full. You know, my friends, on this earth, there's no joy that's full. And we have some joy. I've had plenty of joy in these years. But it's all temporary. It's all fleeting. It doesn't last. It can't be called fullness of joy. But John says in Christ, your joy will be full. You see, change, swift to its close, ebbs out life's little day. Its joys grow dim. Its glories fade away. Change and decay, and all around me I see. Oh, thou that changest not, abide with me. I've got lasting joy. It'll never fade. It's just got to get better. Because David said, I'll be satisfied when I wake with His likeness.